The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What part of Bible doctrine is essential to believe in order to be saved? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we go on to anything else, I want to remind you about a really exciting opportunity that we have for you. It's our National Bible Conference. If you've never been to one of our Bible conferences, we definitely hope to see you there. It's a great experience. You can find out more about that by going to faithalone.org. Click on events. Now, we're taking questions from listeners just like you, just like the question you heard at the top of the show. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to discuss it. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. We really appreciate you guys and all the support that you send to us in terms of prayer and financially and just notes of encouragement. We really appreciate that. It helps us keep going. We've surpassed, I think, 800 episodes. If my notebook here is
wow.
Correctly, I don't know what number exactly this episode is, but we've done over 800. That's a lot of talking. It's a lot of listening. If you've been listening all this time, we appreciate that. All right, let's get to some questions. This one is from Irwin, and Irwin says, I am convinced by annihilationism. Can an annihilationist be saved? Is it right that in order to be saved, you need to believe in the eternal torment of the unsaved? I myself am doubting eternal torments. If I never believe the correct doctrine, am I not saved?
Well, that's a very good question, Irwin. And my answer would be that what you need to believe is what the Lord Jesus Christ promises as the gift of God. John 4:10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you'd ask him and he'd give you living water. And he goes on to explain in verse 14, the living water is the saving message which springs up in a person into everlasting life. So the gift of God is everlasting life, and the giver of the gift of God is the Messiah, which is brought out in John 4:25 and 26, the Messiah Jesus. So if a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ for everlasting life that can never be lost, then that person is born again, even if they have other false beliefs.
Right. So what would you say about John 3:16, Jesus mentions, he contrasts, he mentions not perish. There's a warning there about perishing, right?
Right.
Or in John 3:18, you're condemned already. Do you need to understand what the perishing is or the condemnation is too? Because that's kind of part of the promise.
Well, you might think so, except for the fact that there are many references in John's gospel to the saving message and in the rest of the New Testament for that matter, but especially in John's gospel. And on many occasions, it doesn't mention the not perishing. Mm. It doesn't mention the not being condemned, not being judged. But what is repeated is the eternality of the gift. For example, John 6:47, he who believes in me has everlasting life. There's no real mention there of not perishing, not being eternally condemned.
Right.
And you have other verses like, well, John 5:24, he who hears my word and believes who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment,
yeah.
That is judgment concerning everlasting life, but is passed from death into life. Again, there's nothing directly there about perishing, not perishing.
Well, I guess there's the death
condemned.
There, right? I mean,
you pass
from death, you know?
Right.
I guess you need to, do you need to understand? But your point is, well, if you take all of Jesus's evangelism, he doesn't always mention the same points. Like, he doesn't say God so loves the world every single time he evangelizes.
Exactly.
And so you're saying if you take all of them together, it seems like the minimum message is this.
Right. I would say there are three elements every time Jesus evangelizes. That is himself, believing, you need to believe in Jesus, and you need to believe in Jesus for something, and the something that's repeated over and over and over again is life or everlasting life or not dying, not lacking everlasting life. In fact, even the perishing or being condemned is ultimately the lack of having everlasting life that results in a person being sent to the lake of fire. Although it's not clear that a person needs to understand in order to believe John 3:16, they need to understand that perishing means going to the lake of fire. There's nothing about the lake of fire in what Jesus says there. He just says won't be eternally condemned.
Yeah.
I would think that Nicodemus would have understood being eternally condemned as missing the kingdom, spending eternity apart from the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
But in answer to Irwin's question, my answer would be no. A person, well, maybe the way he rephrased it, I guess, yes. Can an annihilationist be born again? Yes, for two reasons. Number one, you might not be an annihilationist when you come to faith, and later you come to believe it.
Yeah.
But once you're saved, you're always saved. But secondly, even if at the moment of faith you do not believe in eternal conscious torment, but you believe in what people call conditional immortality or whatever, but you do come to believe that simply by faith in Jesus you are secure forever, well, it seems to me you've believed the promise of John 3:16.
Yeah.
But that is something that needs to be straightened out later, because that's a false teaching.
Right.
And it ultimately undercuts any sense of urgency in evangelism.
Why is that?
Well, because let's say you believe that mom or dad, if they don't come to faith in Christ, are going to be annihilated and simply cease to exist.
Yeah.
Well, then you're still motivated to evangelize them because you want them to be with you in eternity and you want them to continue to exist.
Right.
But your motivation isn't nearly as high as if you believe the option isn't between nothing and spending eternity in Jesus' kingdom. The option is spending eternity in the lake of fire with Satan and right. the fallen angels and all unbelievers, being tormented forever versus joy forever with Jesus in the kingdom. I mean, the sense of urgency has to be higher if you believe in ECT, an eternal conscious torment.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I was privy to a conversation between two guys talking about this. One guy believed in ECT, one guy believed in annihilationism, and the annihilationist said, would you go evangelize with me? And the ECT guy said, no, I couldn't, because you're not presenting the real fate of the lost here, so we wouldn't be agreeing upon that. But then I thought, you know, John's gospel, like you say, doesn't even really talk about the fate of the lost, really. I mean, a little bit talks about death or implies they'll perish or be condemned, but he doesn't present the lake of fire at all.
Right.
But he does do that in the book of Revelation. You
right.
know, if any book does, it's that one. But in his evangelistic book, it does talk about the consequence of not believing a little bit, alludes to it, but doesn't really. I don't know. Do you see the urgency of the lake of fire in Jesus' evangelism in John's gospel?
No, I've written on this before, and we do not see anywhere in Jesus' evangelism where he says, he who does not believe in me will go to Hades or will go to Sheol.
Yeah.
Or he who doesn't believe in me will ultimately be cast into the lake of fire. You might get there from perishing or being condemned, but even that, it's not clearly stated.
And annihilationists point this out, and I think they often use John's gospel as evidence for their view, because they're like, see, the opposite of having eternal life isn't eternal life, but in the bad place. The opposite of eternal life is you're gone, you're dead, you've perished.
Yeah, the problem with that, as you say, is there are many texts that indicate we all live forever.
And some people say it's not about living forever, it's about existing. There's a difference between existing forever and living forever. And the only people who live forever are believers, but people in the lake of fire kind of exist forever, but they don't have life because they don't have God's life.
Right, but they do have physical life, and they're going to be resurrected, and they're going to have physical bodies.
So I guess everyone has eternal life.
No, you're right. Everlasting life is the life of Jesus. It's the life he gives to the one who believes in him. But everyone lives forever. Having everlasting life and living forever aren't the same thing. Having everlasting life means I have the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it means I have his life within me, and the eternal me is sinless. I'm never going to sin as an expression of my everlasting life. Once I die, I'm going to get a glorified body, and I'll be with him in his kingdom. The person who lacks everlasting life still has life and is going to have life after they die, but they don't have everlasting life. They're going to live forever, but that's not the same as everlasting life, because their life is going to be apart from Jesus, and my life is going to be with Jesus.
And this is another point, annihilationists. They accuse us of not believing in the second death. You know, they'd say, you guys deny the second death.
No,
you guys believe in They live forever. And I usually say, no, they don't live forever. They exist forever. But you would say they live forever.
Right.
Physically, bodily, forever and ever and ever. So what does the second death then mean?
Well, yeah, it seems to me the annihilationists don't believe in the second death. Because look at Revelation chapter 20, and what is it? It's around verse 12 or 13.
And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead, were in it, death and Hades delivered up the dead, were in them, and they were judged, etc., etc., etc.
Verse 14.
Then death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire, and this is the second death.
So what's the second death?
Yeah, well, annihilationists say what happens when you throw something in a fire? It gets burned up.
Well, not according to verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, the beast...
So the death is the torment then, maybe.
Right. Death is the separation.
Separation.
When we die, our soul and spirit are separated from our body.
Right.
And one day we're going to be resurrected. Even unbelievers will be resurrected. That'll be united. But the second death is not physical death anymore, but now it's a separation from Jesus and his kingdom.
Mm.
It seems to me verse 10 is real clear. By the way, the beast and the false prophet are humans. They will be humans during the tribulation.
Right. And I think annihilationists that I've read say, well, those are just symbols for systems. It's the prophetic system or the bestial system. They're not real people.
Well, here's the thing. People who object to eternal conscious torment do so not on biblical grounds, but on philosophical grounds. They just don't think it makes sense that people should be tormented forever. And so as a result, they seek ways to manipulate the scriptures to make them fit their understanding. The problem with it is they have to go through so many gymnastics that they're no longer accepting the Bible as the Bible. If we accept the clear teaching of the Word of God, then we believe in eternal conscious torment. And even if it's not the way I would have set it up, it doesn't matter. We need to accept what really is and what really will be, not what we want.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit's role for those who fall away. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.